What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young sitting in today on a glorious, glorious Friday afternoon. Glad you are with us and glad you could make time to hang out with 97.1 FM Talk. And I promised you at the top of last hour, I said this is going to be some of the best radio you've ever heard. Now, I think I've kept my promise so far, and I'm going to continue keeping that promise because joining us is John Merline. He's a senior editor at the Heritage Foundation. And John, first of all, welcome to 97.1 FM Talk.
Hey, it's great to be here. I hope I don't disappoint your listeners, though, and wreck your streak.
Oh, you won't, sir. I promise you, because, first of all, I got to tell you, I read the Daily Signal every single day. It's one of those first top five websites I get to in the morning when I'm drinking coffee and I'm half awake. I always go through that first thing. And I caught your article over there called Making Automobiles Great Again. And this has been something that I have been championing for so many years about the problems of how that when the government tries to run our manufacturing, it only runs it into the ground. And so you make some great points in your article, and I don't think that anyone is really aware of this because it's not getting the kind of attention it deserves. First of all, let's talk about what the CAFE standards are and how they were impacted by the recent Big Beautiful Bill.
Okay, so you got to back up and go way back to 1975 when Congress, in a panic over the Arab oil embargo, and if you were around at the time, there were all these claims that we were running out of oil. And so they passed this Energy Policy and Conservation Act, and one of the things it did was it gave the Department of Transportation the authority to say to automakers, of all the cars that you sell in a given year, the average miles per gallon has to be set whatever we say it has to be. So it started out at 18 miles per gallon. It went up to 26 miles per gallon very quickly, and it's now over 30 miles per gallon. So that means if GM sells of all the cars, the government goes in at the end of the year and says, okay, the average is 37 miles per gallon. So you owe us money. If you miss the standard, you have to pay a fine to the federal government.
And to some extent, I mean, I'm a very proud capitalist. All right, I'm a business owner, and when I look at that, it drives me crazy, John, because we see how when the government gets involved with this, it's resulted in cars that may have better gas mileage. But overall, we can't really say these cars are better, particularly from a safety standpoint, can we?
No, and I'll tell you, the history of these standards is really terrible. Now, environmentalists love them. These consumer advocates like Ralph Nader think they're great. But the truth is that when they were first implemented, what Detroit had to do in order to not pay massive fines was to radically downsize all their cars. So, for example, if you drove a Cadillac DeVille, that was made in 1974 versus a DeVille made in 1977, they were two entirely different cars. The 1977 version was 1,000 pounds lighter and was 8 inches shorter, 9 inches shorter. And this happened across the board because the only way to meet these standards was to make cars smaller and lighter. Now, that had a real safety impact. In fact, the National Research Council put out a report in 2002 that said it cost thousands of lives a year. Now, this was in this before 2002. And another study said it could have raised fatalities by 27% in 1985, and that was when cars were being shrunk down. Now, the impact since then is a little different because it's very complicated, but as anything the government does, it complicates matters. So in their genius, they said, well, gee, we're gonna make car makers meet a certain mile per gallon standard, but we have to have a different standard for trucks because, you know, they're trucks, pickup trucks. And so they did that. Well, the auto industry said, well, gee, an SUV is considered a truck. It's on a truck bed. A minivan is considered a truck because it's on a truck bed. So we'll start making those. So while regular cars were shrinking, I don't know if you're old enough to remember, but as a kid, we had a station wagon. I think every suburban family had a station wagon.
Oh, yeah.
So they don't exist anymore, only because these mileage standards made it impossible to sell station wagons. So what did they do? They started selling minivans and SUVs. So people still got big cars that didn't get very good gas mileage, by the way, but that also had a safety effect because, as anybody knows, SUVs and trucks are very big vehicles, much bigger than all the cars that are now on the road. And so when a car hits an SUV, who wins? Well, the SUV wins.
Mm-hmm.
So even there, you have an adverse safety effect. But beyond that, it's just the fact that consumers aren't allowed to choose and manufacturers aren't allowed to make cars that people actually want to drive because they're saying mileage is more important than anything else. And we know better.
We do.
So we're going to tell you how to.
Yeah, we're talking to John Merline. He's a senior editor at the Heritage Foundation. He wrote this piece called Making Automobiles Great Again for the Daily Signal. And John, before we talk about what's happened to the CAFE standards, I want to set the table with this additional point, because more recently, particularly under the Biden administration, the way these CAFE standards, and that's the corporate average fuel economy standards, have been ratcheted up. I mean, for years, my understanding is that when you could increase it, the industry responded by making cars more fuel efficient, but there was a limit to that. And so now that the CAFE standards have been jacked up even higher under the Biden administration, it functionally meant that car manufacturers had to.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Primarily just sell electric vehicles, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right. And the reason is because, according to the EPA, an electric car gets what they call a MPGE, miles per gallon equivalent, of like 100 miles per gallon. This is a very dubious measure, but for automakers, like, well, if we sold one electric car and we could sell two other cars that get worse mileage and still meet that goal. And so that was the exact purpose of both under Obama and under Biden of cranking up these miles per gallon mandates, was to force electric cars onto the market.
Well, and the problem is, when you look at it from a consumer standpoint, is that the all three of the big three automakers retooled to make electric vehicles in order to meet these arbitrary government standards, when in reality, people don't want that many electric cars. And so after sales plummeted, isn't it the case that the big three kind of had an epiphany and said, wow, we're making cars based upon what the government tells us what to do instead of making cars that the public wants, and our sales are going down?
That's exactly right. You had electric cars piling up on dealer lots. The dealers were begging the Biden administration to back off these standards because they were filled up with EVs that they couldn't sell. And yes, the automakers all came out and said, we're going 100% electric by 2035. And now they're all saying, well, maybe not.
Because we want to still keep selling cars.
Right. I mean, people don't like some people like electric cars, and that's fine. But there are a lot of people for whom they're not practical. And so there's no reason why the federal government should say, if you want a means of transportation, you have to buy an expensive, hard to maintain electric car, and one that you might have trouble finding a charger for. And so it's up to the consumer to make those decisions.
Absolutely. Not the government telling car companies what they can or cannot build. And the other thing that just makes me laugh, John, is when I see that these people are basically virtue signaling by driving electric cars, saying that they're being great for the environment, but the batteries that are in those cars are horrendous on the environment because of the destruction of land and what goes into the waterways, particularly in China, when those batteries are constructed. Isn't that also the case?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a whole lot of problems with electric cars. That's one of them. The other, of course, is that a lot of the materials that we need to make batteries come from countries that employ slave labor.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
Yeah, that's kind of the hidden dark side of electric cars. I just wanted to, before I forget, so what Congress did in the One Big Beautiful Bill was, because it was very hard to get rid of these regulations. And so they were unbelievably smart. They said, hey, well, we'll keep the regulation in place, but we'll just make the fine $0. So if a car company misses the federal miles per gallon standard, it pays nothing. And that's Chrysler last year paid $119 million in fines.
Wow.
And so it basically gets rid of this 50-year-old CAFE standard in one fell swoop. And this is what they did with the Obamacare mandate. They said, well, you know, the mandate's still on the law. You're legally obligated to have insurance, but there's no penalty to not having insurance.
Correct.
And so that's what they did with CAFE standards. I think it was a stroke of genius. What amazes me is that it's gotten no coverage
at
all.
And that's why I wanted to reach out to you, John, because before I read your article in the dailysignal.com, I knew nothing about this. And it's so groundbreaking from the perspective of government unleashing private manufacturing instead of corralling and hamstringing manufacturing in a way that hurts us compared to our competitors. We've got just a few seconds here. We got about 30 seconds left here, John. But I want to ask you, how will this, in your opinion, how will this impact the auto industry moving forward?
Well, one can only hope that it means return of the beautiful, magnificent cars that we used to be able to buy, like the Mustang, which was an awesome car, or even the Cadillac with the fins. Cars used to be things of beauty. Now they all look exactly the same.
Yes.
And they're boring as hell. And so if manufacturers, take this opportunity and say, we can actually design beautiful cars again, I think that would be fantastic.
Me too. And I hope they follow your advice. John Merline, senior editor at the Heritage Foundation. Also, you write at thedailysignal.com. Again, that's a website I go to not just every day, but multiple times throughout the day. Thank you so much for joining us here on 97.1 FM Talk.
Thank you so much.
This to me was fantastic news, and I'm so glad that John wrote about it, because otherwise I may not have known about it. It was buried.
Did you know anything about the no fine? That was kind of a genius way around it.
Genius way.
I had not heard that.
Genius way. I didn't know it until I saw that from the dailysignal.com. Hey, we're going to take a break here, and when we come back, I want to talk about an issue that I've been highlighting, a legal constitutional issue that I've been highlighting for the better part of 20 years has now been resolved. And again, no one's talking about it. It's coming out of the Ninth Circuit. It deals with the Second Amendment. I'll break it down for you next, right here on the Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young sitting in today, 97.1 FM Talk.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.